Hearts are open, nothing here is Thank you, Brother Glenn. Thank you all who took the challenge this week to try to share and try to invite those to come. And I've noticed we've got several visitors here, so I know some of you have been inviting because they're here. For those of you that are visiting, we want to thank you for choosing to be with us today and for taking that invitation and receiving it and coming today as well. Do want to have some folks that we want to pray for in our prayer time. I want to pray for Miss Joyce Ann Crane as she is preparing for surgery as well, that everything continue to stay well with her health. I know we have a lot of sickness going around with the different summer viruses that are going on with laryngitis and all kind of things happening. And so we certainly want to pray for all those families. Want to pray for Miss Margaret Barnett. Want to continue to pray also for Brother Leon Campbell, who's coming forward now, and Miss Betty Campbell, Miss Martha Perry, Mr. Perry's mom, and his dad as well. Continue to pray for them. For Ashley Johnson, who was with us for a couple of weeks here of worship. She was home for about a month for Jacob's wedding. As we continue to pray for her to go back, and she's back home now, that she'd get readjusted. The language would continue to develop and her understanding of language, and for the opportunities and the boldness to share the gospel there in Central Asia. She's there serving as International Mission Board missionary. I also want to pray for Wasatch Cowboy Church. We'll be partnered with them July 13th through 20th. We've been connected with Larry and the church now for about 3 or 4 years. We're excited to see what God's doing for in their church and for them. And so we have an opportunity to be a part of that. I want to thank all of you that have given, that are praying, that are continuing to pray for the team from here that is going along with those from the church at Lake Cooley, and for what God is going to do. I'm excited about that, looking forward to it. But also, as we pray, we want to pray for our church. We want to pray for VBS that's coming up. We do have early services next week, and we're going to have baptism. And as Brother Glenn was giving that challenge, I'd mentioned a couple of weeks back, several weeks back, about how it had been a long time since we had seen someone baptized. And we know that baptism doesn't save you, but it's an expression of what God has done inwardly, and how we're expressing it outwardly as a testimony of a life that's changed. And so with that, we have some coming next week that will be baptized during that early morning service for Father's Day. What a great day for baptism. And so if you would, just join us in prayer this morning as we lift up all these prayer concerns. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, as we come today, Lord, I just pray now, Lord, for you just to put aside our thoughts of the things that we think we have to do today or tomorrow. Lord, the things that are coming up, Lord, but we would just focus upon you today, to worship you today, Lord, in spirit and truth. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would examine our own hearts. Lord, to examine our relationship with you and be honest and forthright, Lord, knowing that you understand and know exactly the thoughts and the motives of our hearts and our mind. And Lord, that you already know, Lord, about who we are and what we're doing in our relationship with you, as far as are we walking in a right relationship? Are we walking in a relationship that's committed to you, Lord? And as we study your word today, Lord, in Ephesians, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll challenge all of us, Lord, not to be those that are just spectators, but Lord, to actually be soldiers of the cross. I know that term may not be popular now, Lord, but it's a true statement, Lord. As children of God, Lord, we've been called to be soldiers within the kingdom. Lord, to be ambassadors of proclaiming the glorious gospel and the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that we've mentioned earlier for our prayer list. Lord, you tell us that we're to pray for one another. And Lord, that we exalt you, Lord, as we lift up prayers and petitions on behalf of those that are in hurting, Lord, those that are in need. And Lord, that we, as we do that, Lord, we just come today, Lord, to lift them up to you. And Lord, ask that you would just provide healing according to your perfect will. And Lord, that your will be done in our lives and the lives of those that we're praying for. Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we come to hear your word, Lord, that we would all be challenged. Lord, that our hearts and our minds be open to you, Lord, and we would respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to say a personal word of thank you to Brother Glenn for teaching last Wednesday and for Brother Josh in preaching last Sunday. And I've heard both of you did a great job. I'm thankful for having men that will step in the pulpit and step in and teach and are able to do those things and do it effectively, and that you can have confidence in them that they're going to preach and teach God's word faithfully. As we have been studying through the book of Ephesians, we started in January, and here we are in June, and we're at the last part of Ephesians. Now, it seems like a long time to some, but I hope as we've gone through this study, it's been a word that has challenged all of us about, first of all, understanding the grace of God in those first three chapters and what it means to be a child of God and having received the gift of salvation. And then also the responsibility and how we apply God's word truthfully and effectively in our lives each and every day in such a way that he would be lifted up, he would draw men, women, boys, and girls to himself, and that the world that we live in would be changed. Folks, we live in a dark and desperate time. I don't know if you're looking around and you see the news, but we live in a time where that if it wasn't for the restraint of the Holy Spirit, we would be in the very end days in the sense of the time that Christ would be coming back to judge this world. And we're drawing closer and closer every single day to that. And so with that, we have a time that we're here that we need to have take opportunity to redeem that time to share the gospel and share the gospel effectively and often. Brother Glenn, thank you for that challenge. We need that through Sunday school. We need it in from the pulpit. We need it in our homes. We need it in our Sunday school classes, that we are constantly reminded and challenged of the task that we're called to and saved to is to be proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might save many. And that with that, we would be faithful to be that ambassador that he's called us to be. Paul has been speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he's been challenging us in our walk to walk in unity with the Lord, to walk in unity with one another, to walk in love in the Lord and loving the Lord and love with each other as well as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's challenged us to walk in wisdom. And the wisdom being the wisdom of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. And also the fact that there's no other way of salvation. And the fact, too, that we have also been given God's word and that we have the truth. You know, it's amazing how we see cult groups that go month after month and they meet together and they go out and they visit people and they tell people a lie. And yet we have the church that quite often won't even walk across the street to tell our neighbor the truth. And so Paul says, walk in wisdom. But in challenging us too, he has come to a point in chapter 5 where he was talking about the home. He's talking about the relationship of the husband to the Lord and the husband to the wife and the wife to the Lord and the wife to the husband. And then children and parents in that relationship. And he could have very well ended right there. But Paul, being the apostle that he is and was, he challenged again to be always mindful, always wary of the thought that we are in a battle. And if you're here today and you think that, you know, well, I'm not sure that I'm a soldier, because I titled this today, Attention Soldier. And it's like we're getting that wake up call from Paul, from the Holy Spirit saying, wake up and be reminded that you are a soldier of the King. And with that, you're to be at your battle station at all times. Be ready in season and out of season. Thank you for the word, brother, that if we're not feeling close to God, it's not him that's moved, but it's us. And we'll see that today, is that we need to draw close to him and be reminded of the blessing we have of being a child of God. Paul begins by challenging us to understand, first of all, who the enemy is, because when you're a soldier and when you're going to war, a couple things that you need to know is there needs to be intel taken on the enemy and determine who the enemy is, first of all. You need to understand where he is. You need to understand what his plans are and how he operates, his mode of operation, his offensive weapons that he has, and how powerful they are, so that we can know then how to apply our tactics of fighting against him and knowing and understanding God has already defeated this enemy. But yet we need to fight from victory and not for victory, because the victory's already won. And with this, we're assured of that and given that promise. And so it's not a matter that we should struggle and we should doubt and we should question about whether we're in a battle or not. Because I hate to tell you, but if you've been a believer longer than a day, you know that Satan tries every way he can to come at you and deceive you and to try to cause you to turn back or lose hope or lose faith, to walk away from the Lord, as Josh preached about. But you know, as we see the enemy here, it says, beginning in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the tactics of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, Paul, as he's coming to this point of challenges, he says, first of all, two things. Be strong. And I notice he doesn't say, be strong in your own strength or be strong in your numbers. He says, be strong in the Lord. Because apart from the Lord, we have no strength. Especially against this adversary that he's going to be talking about and challenge us to be prepared to go against day after day and to be prepared to fight against as a soldier in the army of the Lord. But also, and it says, in the power of his might. Whose might? The Lord's might, the Lord's strength. He fights the battle for us, and he will give us the strength to stand strong and fight day in and day out, that we do not grow weary, we do not quit, we do not turn away and retreat, but we stand firm and fight against the enemy. You know, as we just celebrated D-Day, and I saw story after story of the bravery of being run into the face of gunfire. Machine guns, knowing that they were going to die, that some might live and have freedom. Many of those same men that survived that war took that same commitment to a nation, but to a greater level, having committed their lives to the Lord. They came on and preached the gospel. They taught about the reality of life and death, how fleeting it is, and the need to know that you're in a right relationship with God. And Paul begins by saying, be strong in the Lord, and in his strength you will have victory. And so Paul is going to challenge us here now to say that we should put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So he's telling us, arm yourselves, soldiers. Be prepared. Put on the armor that the Lord has given you. At the time that each of us come to faith in Christ, we know the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. But Paul's making it clear too here that as even as a newborn babe in Christ, that we are physically grown adults in the sense that we in many cases are at a point where he tells to put on the armor and become a warrior for the Lord. You know, when I read about the battles that took place in the Old Testament and you read about the battles that are taking place in history as we read about it, there's a lot of times where there are people and you might have a certain age is saying that this is the ones we'll accept into the army. But you always read stories about those who lied about their age or they went ahead and slid in somehow and got involved. They were underage and they got involved in fighting. So age is not the thing Paul's talking about here. He's saying, Christian, put on the armor of God. It's your only hope is to be surrounded and completely armed in the armor of God. And he goes on to say here, he says, because that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So our enemy is the devil. Now, as we hear that word, the devil, we know that he's the accuser. We know he is a liar. We know he's a blasphemer. We know that he is one who brings charges against the elect and false charges in that. He's one who schemes and tries to trip up and deceive in every way that he can. But also we're told he even comes as an angel of light at times. He's a very deceptive, very powerful enemy. But the good thing about that is we need to understand that he is a created being in the sense that he is not God. And so he is not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He's not omnipresent. And so he's not able to be anywhere at all times and know everything and do all things as God does. But the thing about it, you just wonder, well, how can he be in so many places at one time if he can't be omnipresent? Because he has angels or demons that were fallen from heaven with him. If you read in the book of Isaiah, you read in the book of Revelation, that came with him that are at his beck and call to go and do the wickedness and the evil that he too will do and lead them to do. I love to read the writer C.S. Lewis. If you've never read before in C.S. Lewis's works, I know a lot of you have seen the Chronicles of Narnia, but the Screwtape Letters, if you ever read that, it's a little small book. But it talks there about Satan and his demons and how they scheme and work against different individuals and in different ways to try to hit them at their sometimes weakest points where that they can be taken down and put aside, where they're no longer effective as those who are followers of Christ or no longer want to consider Christ in those ways because they've been deceived, or even in their strengths where they seem to think, I'm invincible here. I can stand against Satan here. Let me tell you, without the strength and the power of the Lord going before you, we cannot stand against Satan. It's through the power of the Lord, as Paul says from the very beginning, that we can stand and battle with Satan. But he says here, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, when he uses that term wrestle, he's talking about a close hand-to-hand combat scene. It's not like we're shooting guided missiles from an ocean from 5,000 miles away to hit somebody and take them out. You're standing there like it was in World War II in many cases, where you're looking eye to eye right across from somebody, and then you're engaging in battle and warfare. And the thing we need to understand is we're not engaging with individuals, people in warfare. We're engaging with powers and principalities, these demons, these angels of darkness, the things of Satan and he has there to bring against us. He says, and doing so, and against the rules of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So it is a spiritual battle that we're talking about. And so a lot of times the effect that's often available for us to see it is something that happens physically. It may be someone is caught stealing, or someone is caught in an adulterous affair, or it may be that someone does something like killing someone or something in a situation. But the battle was not with that individual and that has committed these crimes. The battle is with the one who's behind all of that. You know, when you think about the church and how it was attacked there at Ephesus before Paul wrote this, when Paul had been there in Ephesus, is that Demetrius and others who were the silversmiths tried to create cause to bring the church down because they were losing their livelihood because all those statues of Adonis that they would make, they were then no longer buying those. People were coming to faith so quickly, so many were being saved that they were losing their livelihood. And so it wasn't Demetrius and the silversmiths who were creating the problems against the church. It was Satan and his demons who were behind the scenes creating this problem, causing this, and it appeared as these men were the ones involved. Let me just say, a lot of times when you're involved in a problem with someone, it's not usually that it's directly, or it's not normal, it's not even the fact it's a problem with that individual. Quite often when we actually humble ourselves and get on our knees and begin to pray for that person, how the Lord reveals to us that maybe we misunderstood something, or maybe we took it wrong, or what was said or what was done, and that we got upset about that, and our selfishness, our pride, and our ego and those things, and we let Satan just get right in there and get a foothold and take advantage of those things, whereas if we were not being diligent in our times of prayer and we did not have our armor up against him, and he got an arrow in and he got a foothold on us in trying to cause problems with those around us. He says, beginning to describe these things of the armament, though, he says in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, he begins to go in great great detail here describing the armor of God and what it is. And he says, take it up and put it on. Now, think back to the story of David and Goliath. You know, David had said, somebody needs to stand against this one who's an enemy of the Lord God of Israel. Someone needs to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. And everybody was afraid, including Saul, who stood head and shoulders above all, which they had picked because they thought, he'll go out before us and he'll fight the battles. He'll be the king that'll lead us to victory. And with that, we'll be a great nation. But yet they were all cowered down. And this little shepherd says, I'll go fight him. The Lord's blessed, and I've stood against lions, I've stood against bears, and all these things that he's brought against me, and I'll trust him to go against this man. And you know, the first thing that happened was Saul says, well, you're just a boy. You can't go out there with a sling and fight this giant. He's a man of war. Man, his spear, his javelin weighs more than you do. He's killed more people than you've ever seen. But if you're going to go, let me just give you my armor. You need to be protected. You need to put this on. And David tried that armor on. He tried to walk in it. And he realized, I can't wear that armor. It wasn't made for me. I want to say a word to you about this as we begin to look at God's word today about the armor of God. You can't put on someone else's armor. You have to put on the armor that God's made specifically for you. You can't put on your grandfather's armor because he was a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon. You can't put on your mother's armor because she's a saint of God and just loves the Lord God and always in prayer as a prayer warrior. You have to humble yourself and first of all repent of your sin and trust God and be a follower of Christ to be able to receive this armor and receive the armor that he has given to you as a Christian. But even as a Christian, we still have to take it up, Paul says, and put it on, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And so he says, first of all, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You know, Satan tries to twist the truth of God's word. We see it all throughout scripture where he says just enough of the truth and then mixes a lie to understand it. If you know the truth, you know that it's not true what he's saying and you can refute him. You know, I think about when Jesus was in the desert there and for the 40 days and he was being tempted and he each time he rebuked him with the word of God, the sword. But with that, he quoted the truth where Satan was trying to quote a lie. You see, he knows the word, but he knows how to twist it too to deceive people. And so with that, he says, first of all, that we need to be prepared in the sense that we have put on that girded the waist of truth. Now that belt of girded of truth there actually held up like your sword, and it held a lot of the things in place that you needed there for the armament to be on. And so he says, first of all, put on truth. You know, when David was living a life for nearly a year there with the sin of Bathsheba, he had a lot of problems he dealt with. If you have any questions, just read Psalm 51 and some of the other Psalms he wrote about that time. And you see that he was like what Josh was talking about. He was in a seemingly a distant place from God. He's not in that closeness of that relationship that he had been as, you know, a man of God who's after God's own heart, because he was in rebellion against God and he was deceiving and lying and he had been deceived. And because of that, he was not walking in a way that honored God. But David, as a man after God's own heart, repented and he turned back to God. But it was during that time that he was not walking in truth that David struggled and made some bad decisions. And it affected his family and it affected his kingdom to a point too. But you know, as we look at that, he says, put on the belt of truth first. And then the next thing he says is that having put on the breastplate of righteousness, now that breastplate of righteousness is the Lord's righteousness that and our righteousness in Christ. It's talking about that chain or that mail that would put on that you see in like the knights of armor in the old days from the neck down to about the waist to protect all the core part of your body from the darts and the arrows and the things that would be shot at you, the swords they would try to stab you with, to protect your core and to protect your heart. If I can tell you anything today, Christians, protect your heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. God's righteousness to protect your heart. And we'll talk in just a moment about the helmet, but so that I don't forget it, the eyes are the gateway to the heart. And me and I want to talk to you for a moment. Protect your eyes from what you look at and what you see, so that you can protect your heart as well from the darts that the evil one will throw at you. You know, he challenges here to put on the breastplate of righteousness that we might be protected and protect our heart, protect the core of our body. But he says, also having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the Roman soldiers wore sandals that had basically, they call them hobnails. It was basically like cleats. In there's those that play golf or baseball or football or any of those sports like that. You understand it so that you can get a better grip. And so it was important that you didn't lose your grip and you fall to the ground, that you could be able to stand your ground and you could be able to continue in a defensive mode to fight offensively and defensively by staying on your feet. And let me just say this. The gospel of peace, the Lord's gospel, is what allows us to stand to begin with against Satan. It's what puts us at odds against Satan to become an enemy. We were enemies of God. Now we've become children of God. We're enemies of Satan. And so with that we might be able to stand against his schemes and wiles as he comes and attacks us, that we don't get knocked to the ground. Because Satan will try every way he can to cause you to question your relationship with God, whether you're even a child of God. You know, because of circumstances that you end up in a lot of times, or places where you end up in a lot of times, we get to the point where we begin to maybe question, you know, I thought I was saved, but Lord, I just feel like I don't even know you. I don't feel like you don't know me. Maybe you've allowed, and Satan's over there working on my mind and said, yep, he's allowed you to go through all these difficulties. And if he really cared about you and you're really a child of the king, boy, he'd have you sitting over there in the castle over there, and you'd be fed well and taken care of. You wouldn't have to do anything. He feeds you all those lies. Sometimes that's how he knocks you off your feet, because you're not believing the gospel and the power of salvation that's found through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Christ. And so he challenges us to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but not only that we would be able to stand, but also that we would be able to move forward offensively with the message of the gospel. That the gospel of peace is the gospel of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other God. There is no other way of salvation apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And when that is the gospel of peace, that's what brings peace between man and God. When he comes to that point to say, I acknowledge that you are God and I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And I want to ask you to forgive me and save me from my sin, to deliver me from the evil one. And so with that, we carry that message of the gospel. So Brother Glenn, again, the timing was perfect. And that God planned all that. We couldn't have done that. Me and you ain't that smart, brother. I know that. But, you know, when you look at it too, he says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that shield that was carried by the Roman soldiers this time was about 2 foot by 4 foot. It kind of looks a little bit like the shields that are carried by the police when there's a riot going on. And, you know, in those, they could lock those together. And the Roman soldiers could, too. And the whole point of that was they could lock it together and form a wall and go against the people to stand against all those who were coming against them, not standing individually, but together. And let me just say this. As we're talking about soldiers, probably the worst ad or slogan campaign the army ever had was an army of one. It didn't stay up long because it's just an oxymoron. You cannot be an army when you're just one by yourself. And so if you have that mentality that I don't need the church, I don't need to be a part of the bride of Christ locally as a part of the New Testament church, Paul is telling us here, yes, you do. He's reminding us is that we cannot stand alone. But when we stand together, the Lord gives us strength and we're encouraged by one another and we can stand against the wiles of the evil one. And so he's telling us to carry that shield, which was a wooden shield that was covered with leather. And it was usually had things on it, it was wet down so that when they shot those fiery darts at them or those arrows, is that it would not be able to penetrate completely to kill them. It would not be able to cause the fire that they intended either. So with that, those schemes are defeated. And so he's telling us to carry our shield of faith. Now, let me just say that shield of faith is not saving faith here. It's believing faith, believing day by day that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And as he will give us victory over the evil one, if we will trust him, if we will depend upon him, if we'll go wherever he leads, as we just sang about, if we'll do what God says do, we can trust him for victory in that sense, is that he will do everything he said he'll do. And so we can believe that based on the promises that he has given us. And so it's the shield of faith. But also he talks about the helmet of salvation. Now, as he talks about the helmet of salvation, we can certainly understand with a soldier what it means to have a helmet on to protection for your head, because there's not a whole lot there for protection of the brain other than just a little bit of bone and some skin. Maybe some of us have hair and some of us don't. But here's the thing. I went and did this little training a while back, and part of it was that there was a scenario there, and the guy was already, he's like an active shooter. And he already had a gun. Well, the next thing I know, he's already popped me in the helmet right here one time. And so if I hadn't had the helmet, that thing would have drilled me in the head. So it's that helmet of salvation he's talking about here, though, is the control of God on our mind. You know, when we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he talks about there has to be a renewing of the mind, a transformation that takes place. And it happens through the Spirit of God coming to dwell within us. And it happens through the Word of God being read by us and in the Word of God getting into us. And then through that, there's a changing and a controlling of the mind. The things that we could be deceived about before, because we're now growing in God, understanding of God's Word, and God's Word is within us, we have that constant reminder that Satan is a liar. Satan is a defeated foe. We do not have to fear him. We need to be aware of him, and we need to understand who that enemy is. But we don't have to fear him, because God is fighting for us and with us, and the victory's already won. And so with that, we put on that helmet of salvation. Now, you know, you can't face Satan in that way without the helmet of salvation. But also he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, when I talked about that girdle, that belt earlier, and I told you held up other things, one of the things that held was a short sword about 18 inches long. And I was talking about wrestling with powers and principalities and rulers of darkness earlier. As we're talking about that hand-to-hand combat, a long sword doesn't do you much good. But a short sword and close by that you can grab to fight and defend yourself with is effective in physical combat. But let me just say this too, is for those that are in physical combat, the more you use that sword, is the more dull it becomes. But that's not the sword he's talking about here. He's talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is living and active. And that with that, it gets sharper and sharper the more you use it. It's an offensive weapon to help protect you and to help guide you and to deliver you from the evil one. And so with that, he's telling us is that the Word of God has to be like a sword for us also. But here's the thing I tell you all the time is the energy for the soldier comes from this point. In verses 18 through 20, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is saying, listen, everything you do, once you've put that armor on, for the energy to be able to carry the weight of it, you know, a soldier, when he puts on his packs and everything, usually has an average of about 50 to 70 pounds additional weight that he carries. And the armor of God, if you read about the knights and all too, it was heavy. And so with this, to have the energy to fight and continue to persevere, to go on day after day and fighting and standing against the enemy, is you have to be in prayer. Prayer is where that energy comes from. Now, a lot of people flip out when you mention the name John Piper, and I don't agree with everything he says. But I will say this. I heard him years ago, and he was talking about missions, and he was talking about being in tune with the Word of God and in tune with God. And the one thing that he mentioned that I think is true is prayer is like having a walkie-talkie talking to the command post and talking to God himself and going back and forth and getting instruction and giving the needs of what's there, giving the situation what's happening, is that you're at battle and you're calling out saying, listen, this is our coordinates. This is what's happening. Lord, you know our situation and we need your help. Now, what do? Because you see, the first thing is not always to act. The first thing a lot of times is just to fall on our face before him and pray. And then when he says move, then we act. Then we move. Too often we want to act and think we can handle it and not pray. But when we do that, we're doing that in our strength, not in his strength. He's saying you are to do this in the strength of the Lord. And so we are to be in prayer and we're to be in specific prayer. Notice what Paul says. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, he's not talking about these generic prayers. He's talking about being point specific. There's needs here. There's people hurting. There's lives lost. There's people that are in need of a touch from God for healing. Lord, would you be specific here? I want to be specific to you. And would you just do this thing that you might be glorified according to your perfect will? You see, prayer is a weapon. Just like the sword. But it's where we get our direction as well in the chain of command. You see, we don't make those decisions here. They come from the top. They come from the Lord. And then we're to be obedient to follow. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Perfect song for today. A lot of times we sing that, but we don't mean that. Because when he says, Lord, I want you to, and the Lord says, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, Lord, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach. And I used that excuse a long time ago. And now I love to teach. Because he gives you that gift. He's trying to gift you and help you to grow in him. Lord says, you need to help in the nursery. We got a lot of kids here now. We got a lot of young parents. They're wrestling to get them here. They're trying to get them here and be here faithfully. They need to rotate out and take turns just like everybody else, but they also need time to be sitting under the Word of God too. We got VBS coming up. A lot of you say, well, I'm not going to be around that week, and I'm too old. I can't do this. I can't do that. But the Lord says, go do it. Will you do it? Will you go where he leads, or are you going where you want to go? Too often we're going where we want to go, and we're doing what we want to do, and we're not doing what we don't want to do. So I encourage you, don't sing that song anymore if you don't mean it. If you're a soldier, and he says, attention, yes, sir. You answer the call because there might not be any reserves back there when you're in a small church, but he's put you right where he wanted you to be. He's brought you here to be a part of this body for that purpose. Put on the whole armor of God. He says, why? Because I am an ambassador in chains. Paul is writing from a Roman prison, chained to a soldier. And yet he has more freedom and more joy than most of us today. Because he's being obedient to God. He's right where God wants him to be. Are you? The last thing in closing, he brings a word of just encouragement. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You know, as Paul closes, he always tries to be encouraging. He's reminded us of the duty. He's reminded us of the danger. He's reminded us of the responsibility of a Christian to be a soldier of the cross. But he says, listen, take heart. I'm going to send someone to you to be an encourager to you. I'm going to send Tychicus. I want to tell you, the Lord did the same thing. He said, I'm going to send somebody to you. He's going to be an encourager. It's called the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. And he's going to come alongside you, and he's going to help you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to convict you. He's going to call you out to do the things that God wants you to do, and then it's up to you to respond. But it won't be a matter of not knowing the truth. It's a matter of obedience and following Christ. First of all, like I said earlier, you can't put that armor on until you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're standing wide open as a target for Satan because you don't have that armor, because you don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have salvation. I invite you today to come and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Commit your life to Him. Maybe you have done that, but your armor's dusty and it's off in the corner somewhere in the closet. Maybe you just need to humble yourself today and say, Lord, I sang that song, Wherever You Lead, I'll Go. But I was a liar when I sang it this time. But I want you to help me. And the next time I sing, it's going to be because I'm doing what you want me to do and going where you want me to go. That wherever you lead, I'll go. And I'm yours and you're mine. I love you and I commit myself to you. And I want to be a soldier in your army. I want to be an ambassador to point the others to you through the message of the gospel, that they might receive the peace of God. They too might receive the gift of salvation. In whatever way God's inviting you today, this altar is open. I invite you to come and just leave it here at the altar. Don't walk out the door and take it home with you. But I invite you to come and commit yourself and be truthful with God in what you're committing. It's committing to Him, not to the church, not to a preacher, but making a commitment to God. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the promises that we have in your word and thank you for the Spirit, Lord. Thank you for the way that you fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and you teach us and you convict us, Lord, and you encourage us and you challenge us, Lord, to stand firm in the faith. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?